Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. Irishman Bernard Phelan's family will be holding a vigil outside the Iranian embassy in Dublin next Thursday. The 64-year-old travel consultant was arrested last October in Iran and has been held in jail ever since. Earlier, I spoke to his sister, Caroline Mass Phelan, and I began by asking her about the current state of Bernard Phelan's health.
Extremely fragile. His physical health is declining rapidly. He has several health issues, cardiac and bone issues, but also he is going blind because he had an operation last summer, which was fine, went well, but it hasn't been treated, and so he can't see very far anymore, and he's very concerned that that won't be repairable when he comes home.
And was he on medication or anything in the aftermath of this operation? And does he have access to that medication at the moment?
He was no longer on medication for his eyes. He was always on medication for his heart and bones. And he does have access to that. However, he fears it running out, or we do send him medication once a month, but it's very limited. The doctor's care in the prison where he is since the 3rd of October is very limited. And they wanted to increase some of his medication for his blood pressure, but he fears their competency and so has refused their medication. So he's just very afraid of what could happen to him there.
And you mentioned that level of anxiety being there, and also concern, I suppose, a feeling of being unsafe. How's his mental health?
He is fearing for his safety. He's extremely depressed because of the length of time he has been in there. He just doesn't see a way out. He understands that, government is in close contact with the Iranians, but he doesn't see the fruits of that. He knows that we're talking to media, but again, he doesn't see any fruit to that. He regularly tells us that he doesn't know how long he can hold on. He was on hunger strike in January. He actually went on a thirst strike, which, of course, put the fear of death in all of us. And we convinced him to stop that. And he also started to eat again. I think, our time is short with Bernard. We don't have the time that we'd like to have to negotiate with the Iranians. But he really needs to be let out on humanitarian grounds.
Can you remind anybody who's not familiar with this case how he ended up in prison, how he came to be there, and what the charges were that were laid against him in order to put him in prison?
Yes, Bernard was on an educational trip to Iran. He worked as a consultant for an Iranian tour operator since 2017. So he was travelling back and forth once a year to Iran and promoting the destination at major tour operator fairs around Europe. And he was in Iran in a city called Mashhad with the CEO of this tour operator looking for new programs to program in European tour operator brochures, sort of adventure off the routes kind of tours, bicycle tours, etc., and hiking. And so he was stopped for taking a photograph of a mosque in Mashhad, which is a beautiful mosque and very famous. But he was there during the period of the protests. And when he travelled, it was a pre-booked trip for many months. And he had no idea that these protests would escalate and that his life would be in danger. And he was hauled off the street into a van and taken away for 2 weeks. And we didn't know where he was, and in complete isolation and interrogated. He's not alone at being one of these hostages being kept in Iran as pawns in some sort of political game that's going on in the country. There's many other Europeans that are being held. And he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he also travelled. Bernard has dual nationality. He travelled on his French passport. It was faster to get a visa on that passport. And so there's also the case that where he is being identified as French. And at the moment, there are, tensions between France and Iran. But we are pushing the fact that he is an Irish man, an Irish citizen, being held in this country. And, he has no beef with Iran. He loves Iran. He was only trying to help Iranian tourism. Bernard used to work for Bord Folcha in the past. He worked in the Paris office. He worked in Ireland and Dundalk. And, he's always been involved in tourism, and trying to help the country was his objective.
And so is it his belief, had he been travelling on his Irish passport, that there may have been a different outcome? Does he think he was targeted because of his French passport, or was it something to do with what he was doing when he was in Iran?
I think he really just used his French passport because it was quicker to get the visa. So the French are potentially more involved with politics and Iran than the Irish. And so that potentially having had an Irish passport would have been an easier option for his liberation or a speedy liberation, and potentially wouldn't have been a target.
And how much does he know about what the specific accusations are? Have detailed charges been laid in front of him?
He was initially accused by police of taking photographs of a burnt mosque and two photographs of police, which he denies. And then a month later, he was accused by the prison judiciary of propaganda against the regime and sending photos to the Guardian newspaper, which he denies, and the newspaper also. And then more recently, he was then accused of taking small pieces of pottery from a village he had visited. Again, he denied. And then in February, on the 20th of February, he was brought into court and he was accused of sharing Iranian information with a foreign power. And he was given 3.5 years. He was sentenced in the court, but they said he would be pardoned due to his age and his ill health. And then a week later, while we were waiting for the pardon, a week later, he was brought into court again and given 6.5 years with no lawyer present.
And is that the most recent court appearance he's had to undergo?
Indeed. Yes, indeed. And that was, you know, a formal accusation, you know, with a sentence of 6.5 years, which was a huge shock to both him and, of course, my family and my father, who's 97. As you can imagine, the shock for him.
And when have you last got to communicate with Bernard, and how do you communicate with him?
We communicate via the Department of Foreign Affairs representative in Iran. So Bernard gets calls to the representative out there and it's dictated over the phone. So we get messages daily. And then also he has recently been able to call us on a Sunday. So he gets one call per week, but that's very recent. So,
and you can speak to him directly on those calls, is it?
Yes, he is filmed during those calls and he is recorded during those calls, and they last for about 8 minutes. So we've been lucky to have two so far. I've had two calls and he's had one with his father.
And how is your father? You mentioned he's 97. He's been involved in this campaign. He wrote a heartfelt plea to the Iranian ambassador here in Ireland as well. But just to deal, I suppose, with Bernard's call to him first, how was that for him?
A huge shock. A huge shock. My father, we already lost my brother, another brother we had, Declan, 16 years ago. So, you know, losing a son is very tough. But to imagine, you know, your other son being held in a prison for something he hasn't done in a scary country, because we've all seen those images. And, you know, he just doesn't understand. He has total faith in a judicial system. So for my father, the fact that, you know, somebody's being held for something he hasn't done is beyond his understanding.
And how have those phone calls been for your dad?
Dad has had one on his birthday last year in November. So hopefully he'll have another one soon. Bernard is writing beautiful letters to my father that cheer him up enormously. They're quite courageous letters because they're quite cheery. We don't always get those kind of same messages, but it's just to boost my dad's morale.
What kind of a person is Bernard? I mean, to be in prison, to be extremely depressed, to be worried about your health, and to still be writing letters like that.
He's an amazing person. It could be, you know, anybody's son or brother. He's as strong as anybody is, really, in those situations. You can imagine, you know, you can be strong one day and the next day lose total confidence in everybody around you and faith and in the world. I think that's the way he goes.
So you mentioned you're pursuing this through diplomatic channels. The Irish diplomatic representatives are trying to maintain contact there. Do you know what approaches have been made to the Iranians? Do you know what efforts are underway through those diplomatic channels? And are you also pursuing that through French diplomatic channels, or are Ireland taking the lead on it for the moment?
Both the Irish Department of Foreign Affairs and French Quai d'Orsay are in constant contact with the Iranian authorities, trying all diplomatic paths to release Bernard. On his, you know, his age, his terrible health, which is declining rapidly, and to release Bernard on these humanitarian on a humanitarian basis. The Tanishta has been in contact with the Iranian authorities in Iran and is, you know, talking to TDs in the Doyle about this. It's been raised in the Doyle. It's something, you know, I've talked to him myself about this. He rang me about Bernard's case. He's very much aware and doing the very best in their negotiation possibilities to liberate and negotiate Bernard's release based on humanitarian grounds. However, we're nearly at 6 months and we're on a clicking, you know, a ticking clock. How long can we wait? I don't know. Yeah, I don't think very long.
And you're going to try and apply pressure of your own next week by holding a vigil. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, we're just Bernard's family and friends will be meeting outside the Iranian embassy on the 30th of March. And we'll be just calling on the Iranian authorities to focus on Bernard and understand that this person shouldn't be in Iran and to be just simply released. You know, Bernard loved the country, was only doing his best for that country, was trying to help business there, loved the Iranian people and was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And just to release him, I mean, why would they keep somebody like that?
And is your dad in a position to join you at the vigil? Is he?
He will. It'll be very short, but he will. He will join us. He wants to do something to help his son. So this is a way of, with his family and friends, to do something and to take action. We have created a petition where we hope that we will arrive at 5,000 signatures by next week. It's on Bernard's website. It's called releasebernardphelan.com if anybody wants to sign the petition. And then Daddy can present it to the Iranian embassy on the 30th. So we're hoping for that. And also everybody who's coming is going to bring a flower because Bernard loved spring flowers. And so it's a symbol of love and peace.
And what message do you want the Iranian embassy to get from that vigil?
I think very much that, you know, we have nothing to do with politics. It's totally just let this poor man go who is sick. Just wants to go back and see his dad, see his family, and just forget the politics and let him go. We have nothing, no beef with Iran. It's just a very ill person who needs to go home.
And that was Caroline Masfielan, the sister of Bernard Phelan, who spoke to me before the programme. Now, we did ask the Iranian embassy for a statement. They said Bernard Phelan is entitled to appeal the sentence. He said the Iranian authorities have taken efforts in good faith to expedite the judicial process and that the embassy had strived to safeguard the case from being politicised and derailed. This is a quote from its proper judicial process by media and political beneficiaries. The Department of Foreign Affairs here has said the government remains extremely concerned about the continued detention of an Irish citizen, Bernard Phelan, especially given his ill health, and said there's ongoing and extensive engagement with the Iranian authorities on the matter. Well, still with me in studio are Josefa Madigan, Minister of State for Special Education, Verona Murphy, Independent TD for Wexford, and Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central. To you first, Josefa Madigan, what we've heard there from Caroline Masfielan, a heartfelt plea. Would you support her calls? Do you think any of your political colleagues would even consider supporting them at the vigil?
Of course. I mean, we want to support the immediate release of Bernard Phelan. I actually know a friend of his, Patricia Larkin. She's a neighbour of mine. He grew up in my constituency in Stillorgan. He went to UCD. He's apparently a very gentle, kind man. This is a heartbreaking situation. And I know when I heard Caroline say it there that the Taoiseach is very much engaged and the Department of Foreign Affairs officials with the French authorities as well to try and make sure that he can get out on humanitarian grounds. So look, I just hope that continues and that there's an urgency to it, which I believe that there is.
Breed Smith.
Well, it's interesting because I've been working closely with the Iranian women in Ireland. A lot of academics and workers that are over here have been protesting in line with the, woman life freedom protests in Iran, where young girls in particular, but protesters are generally beaten off the streets, killed. Amina Mashi was killed and her killing sparked it in police custody, sparked a revolutionary response right throughout Iran. And the elite in Iran are shook by this. They are really shook. And I do think that Bernard's imprisonment and the imprisonment of dozens of others, non-nationals and dual nationality people who've been picked up on the grounds of espionage and security is linked to the revolutionary situation.
As you heard, the Iranian embassy here has said they reject that. You don't accept that rejection.
Of course they reject it. But they're shook by this movement from below, which is really extremely powerful. And it is mostly young women. They've been going into schools attacking young girls because because they're so frightened of the consequences of what this movement might mean. And when they're like that, when an elite is like that, they're akin to a trapped animal, and they can be very, very dangerous, not just to their own population, but to people like Bernard and others who find themselves, as his sister said, in the wrong place at the wrong time. So we should all be supporting this cause, but also demanding that the Woman Life Freedom movement is recognised internationally, right, globally, and given the support that it needs.
Verona Murphy.
Yeah, I would agree with Breida on the latter point, but I would also make it clear I don't think there's any insinuation that Bernard was in any way political. So I do think we should be making every effort to have him home to his family. It's very heartfelt for his father, who's 97 years of age, having lost a son already. And I do hope that our government are sincere in their efforts and doing all that they can.